Welcome back to Agriculture Today. I'm Sarah Moyer. It's no secret that the overall farm financial situation is less than ideal. And while cattle producers have probably considered or implemented adjustments in their own operation, they may have not considered how downstream market changes are impacting their business. To speak on this topic and give a preview of her breakout sessions presentation at the upcoming K-State Department of Agricultural Economics Risk and Profit Conference is agricultural economist Melissa McKendry. Good to have you on, Melissa.
Thanks for letting me be here today, Sarah. It's great to see you.
So let's just jump right in. And based off of the theme of the conference, it's focused on navigating a struggling ag economy. And one of those struggles within the ag economy is identifying those downstream market changes and their place for a producer to make decisions, how those all tie in together. So can you give a brief synopsis on how the current market situation is affecting producer decisions with downstream market changes?
Sure. So first, when we're talking about this topic, it's important to keep in mind the multiple levels in the beef industry. So you start all the way back with your seed stock operators, and you have your cow-calf operations, and then those calves can either go to a backgrounder or go directly to the feedlot and then onto the slaughterhouse until they ultimately reach the consumer. So in economics, you try to think about how information is transferred from either one supplier up the chain to the next or all the way starting at the very end at the consumer demand. And so it's important to think about how even those changes way back at the consumer level, the changes in demand are transferred back through to the feedlot producers, to the cow-calf producers. And so in economics, generally that's thought of as price. So our goal with this general study is to look at how that information flows and whether or not it's been efficient. So first I'd like to motivate it with an example in farm prices. So if you think about farmland, it is in fixed supply. And you have a generally large number of farmers that can farm that land. When crop prices increase, farmers are obviously going to want to benefit from that price increase. So they need to harvest more crops. And so to do that, then they need more land. So all the farmers are obviously going to see this, and they're going to bid up those land rental rates. So then those land rental rates are going to be bid up so that the farmer doesn't actually accrue any of those benefits from the price increases. Those are actually transferred back to the landowner. So think about what happened back in 2008 when we had soybean and corn price increases. We also saw an increase in land values. So if you think about the cattle industry then, what is the scarce resource in the cattle industry? It's the calves. So we wanted to look at how changes at the end of the supply chain there at the fed cattle prices are transferred back to the cow-calf producers.
Right, and so it's that signal of expansion, and as in the land value example, it was a signal to the producers and across the board kind of communication through price, as you mentioned. And so with that thought of expansion, what's the greatest barrier to that being transferred clear through the market?
So I think one of the main barriers is time, because it takes a long time for the cattle herd to expand because you have to have the replacement heifers and those breeding decisions. From the time that the animal is bred, it takes about 2 years for that beef to finally reach the end consumer. So given the biological lags in the industry, I think that is one of the major barriers to expansion and contraction. I mean, it takes time for this to happen.
Melissa, can you give us some more background on how the study originated and then what some of your results have been?
Yeah, so given all the recent changes in the beef industry with the run-up of prices that we had in 2015 and then kind of the crash back down of those prices and a lot of the negative returns at the feedlot industry, if you look at some of the feedlot returns by Glenn Tonzer on agmanager.info, those were as much as a loss of $500 per head, while a few years before that, we had record high profitability at the cow-calf level, so some of the higher years of return that we've seen in a while. So we thought that we needed to look at why potentially this change could be going on, the divergence in the different returns at the different levels in the beef industry. So that's kind of our main motivation. And when looking at the most recent year, so starting at about 2012, using the feeder cattle price and the fed cattle prices, we found higher than expected pass-through levels. So what we're talking about with pass-through levels is if you have a dollar change and the fed cattle price at the end of the chain, how much of that price change is passed back through to the cow-calf producer through feeder cattle prices. And so what we found is that generally higher than expected percentage of that change in price is being passed back to the cow-calf producer. And since 2012, those fed cattle prices have been generally increasing. So if you have an increasing price and more of that price changes, that increase in price is being passed back to the cow-calf producer, then that's generally a sign for expansion. Now, that doesn't guarantee expansion, right? Because there's a lot that goes into expansion decisions by the cow-calf producer. They have to consider their own operating cost, etc. So since 2012, if the prices have been increasing, those fed cattle prices, it's generally a sign for expansion. So if that started back in 2012 and you have a two-year biological lag, that's pretty consistent with the new cattle cycle that started in 2014.
And with that change in the cattle cycle or renewal there in 2014, here in 2016, what should producers keep an eye on in the markets?
I think that producers really need to keep in mind what their break-even costs are and be cognizant of potentially that cattle crush. So taking your input cost in consideration with the feeder calf being one of your largest costs and then the corn cost, and make sure that if you can lock in a higher fed cattle price enough to make sure that you don't have those negative returns that we saw, to really take that into consideration. So back in 2015, we had producers that had locked in fed cattle prices that didn't even cover their break-even costs. So really pay attention to those break-even costs whenever you're looking at your operation.
Some good advice for producers. Just taking a moment to speak a touch on your presentation at the Risk and Profit Conference.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the study that we've talked about today. And then another study that we have ongoing right now is looking at how changes at the retail level, so changes in retail level beef demand and export beef demand, impact the feeder cattle and slaughter cattle supply and demands. So how are changes at the retail level impacting the fed cattle and the feeder cattle producers?
Are those changes something that producers can influence through consumer education or being involved with the beef industry outside of just their own operation?
I think it's more of the idea of if you have a shock at the consumer demand level, how are those changes passed back through the industry? Now, those shocks, they don't necessarily have to be, you know, a large shock like lean, finely textured beef or something like that, but changes in the research from the beef checkoff programs, for example, and how those will impact producers at different levels in the supply chain. So if the beef checkoff program is successful at, you know, increasing that beef demand index, how does that pass back through to the different levels?
So thinking about how the beef cattle industry is a two-way street, you have the consumers on one end and then you have the cow-calf producers making their operation decisions and breeding decisions. How should producers in the middle be cognizant of both ends?
It's a great question. So generally, you need to be cognizant and aware that you're not just isolated in your industry, and your decisions impact those both upstream from you and downstream from you. So changes at consumer demand will trickle back to the slaughterhouses, then back to the feedlots, to the cow-calf producers, and ultimately to the seed stock operators. And if you're in the middle, your decisions, if you're a feedlot, they're going to impact the slaughterhouses, consumer demand, and then also going back to the cow-calf producers and the seed stock operators. So we're really going to try to anecdotally during this session talk about, hey, if this happens in the market, how does it impact not only me, but the other members of the supply and demand chain?
Some of those factors are not measurable or not predictable. Is that right?
Exactly. So anything that happens in the market that we can't predict is a shock. So if we could predict it, we'd probably try to change it, right? Ideally, we would like to be able to do that. That's just the truth of the matter. If we were more efficient than the market, then we probably wouldn't need an economist to begin with.
Well, thank you for coming on, Melissa, today and speaking with us.
Thank you for having me today, Sarah. And I hope that if you can make it out to the Risk and Profit Conference, we'd love to have you.
Thank you. And that was Melissa McKendry. She's a K-State agricultural economist. As she mentioned, she will be speaking at the upcoming K-State Department of Agricultural Economics Risk and Profit Conference. That will be taking place August 18th and 19th here at K-State's campus. There are several other sessions that cattle producers who plan to attend the Risk and Profit Conference should keep an eye out for. The topics those sessions cover include the future of diversified crop and livestock operations, live cattle futures and option pricing, and pasture rainfall insurance and the issues associated with that. K-State agricultural economist Glenn Tonzer will give his livestock market outlook during the general session of the Risk and Profit Conference on Friday. For more information on the conference, you can visit agmanager.info. We'll be back with more on Agriculture Today.